Hello guys, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, all on the family. But God began to deal with us, we realized something. We're reaching thousands with our seminars, but we can reach millions with our radio program. We're having some great feedback, so we want to encourage today. If this program has helped you in any way, if you've got something out of it, give us a call. Drop us a line, send us a note, email us, and let us know how it's helped you. God told us years ago that we would be doing this in the last days and said our ministry would restore hope in the lives of families through the knowledge of the Word of God. It's the Word of God that changes people, puts hope back in you, man. God can do all kinds of great things. Part the Red Sea and raise the dead. He can save a marriage. He can save a family. He can help you with your parenting, help you with your money. It is the Word of God. So this program is just based on that alone. It's restoring hope in the lives of families through the knowledge of the Word of God. Give us a line and let us know how it's helped you.
You're listening to Joe McGee.
My wife taught me a long time ago. She said, if you want me playing kissy face at 11, you better be in the kitchen with an apron on at 7. Mothers know about sacrifice. John chapter 10, verse 10 says this. We know this scripture. The thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I've come to give you a rich and satisfying life, it says in the New Living Translation. When Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father, he was satisfied. I did everything I needed to do to fix this problem. When Paul got ready to go home, I finished, run my race, I finished my course, I'm satisfied. But you know, some people aren't satisfied. You ever bought something and got home with it and you weren't satisfied? I'm like, man, I'm not satisfied with this. That was a bum deal. You ever got married and you weren't satisfied? That'll mess your mind up. Now what do?
You're listening to Joe McGee. He'll be right back with more of today's message. But first, we'd like to tell you about this month's life-changing offer for your family. When you call and give a gift of $35 or more to help Joe continue to reconcile families across this nation, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you a special radio package. It's called Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. This set includes 3 audio messages that are thought-provoking and funny, a couple of prayer reminders, and 31 teaching cards to help you and your kids build a strong marriage and family. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Your support goes to help grow the outreach of Joe McGee Ministries. Joe uses a laugh and learn approach that removes barriers and provides a refreshing point of view and a new hope for your marriage and family. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Now, here's Joe with...
I love mothers. Don't you love mothers? We got 6 kids of our own. That makes us legitimate. We know something, or we might know a lot of what not to do. You know, it's just on how you look at it. My grandmother, on my dad's side, my grandmother, East Tennessee, in a mining community, got married when she was 14. It's legal. You can do that back there. I don't recommend it, but it's legal. Started having babies right off with my grandfather, and they had 12 kids. And 3 years after the 12th was born, my grandfather was killed in a mining accident, and my grandmother was left to raise those kids, do what she needed to do by herself. And they got some insurance money, believe it or not, from the mining company. And my grandmother was wise enough, even though she was not educated, wise enough to know not to squander that. And she went from the rental house, the mining house they let you live in, and work for a mining company, and bought a brand new home there that had just been built in that town, a 5-bedroom home. And I know it's hard to believe, but got it for $4,800. This is a long time ago. And brand new 5-bedroom, and moved all those kids over into that. And my grandmother, she could sew. That's what she did as a hobby. Now it's going to have to be a living. And so she began to sew and put the 6 girls through college, got them all their college degrees. All the boys went off to do different things. And my grandmother could not read. And so when my father would go up once a month on the long weekend, my father worked swing shifts for 13 years. And every long weekend, we would drive up to see my grandmother about 70 miles away and up in the mountains. And she couldn't read, so I would read to her. She liked Dick Tracy. She loved Dick Tracy. And she never could pronounce his name right. She called him Mr. Macy. And she'd say, son, come here and sit down and read Mr. Macy to me. I says, Grandma, it's Mr. Tracy. Yeah, Mr. Macy. And she'd sit down, and I'd read to her, and she loved that. And then on Sunday morning, I'd read the funny pages. Then we'd get up after a big old breakfast. She would cook, made those big old cat head biscuits, and we had a full-blown breakfast. And we'd all go down to the Mine City Baptist Church. And everybody went, and we had our own section, you know. Everybody was there, and then they liked us. Man, if we left, half that church would disappear. And we'd come back home, and then we'd sit and have supper, you know, big, nice supper, and sit around and visit the rest of the day. And I always admired my grandmother because of what she was able to do, because mamas are something else. Mamas know things that men don't know. They'll do things that men don't. That's why the Bible warns you about she-bears, not he-bears. Because a he-bear needs one thing. He needs honor. All men need honor. That's why men won't ask for directions. They need honor, and it's embarrassing to ask for directions. So they'll run out of half a tank of gas and brag. It took them half a day and a half a tank, but they found it. A woman's number one need is security, not honor, so she'll ask for directions all day long, meet five new friends. It will not bother her a bit. And so he-bear walks through the woods, sees another he-bear. He'll size him up. He'll stop and stare at him a minute. He'll think, can I whip him? I don't think so. And then he'll walk around him. But you see a she-bear coming through the woods with some cubs. If she runs into a he-bear, she will not hesitate. She will charge him and claw his eyeballs out or die trying. That's why the Bible never warns you about a he-bear. Just a she-bear. I want to talk to you this morning about six things smart mamas know. Six things smart mamas know. First one is that mamas know about sacrifice. I don't know anybody who sacrifices more than women. I've never met another creature that will sacrifice like a woman would, especially a mother. A mother will give you the last piece of pizza, the last ice cream out of the box, the last chicken leg on the table. She'll do without just to make sure her children get something, because mamas want the best for her kids. That's why 3 John 4 says this: it gives me no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And mamas think different than daddies. You know, daddies only think temporary. You know, God tricks us into marriage. You find somebody you like, you look good. I like you, you like me. Let's play kissy face. And our lips are a perfect match, so let's get married. And you get married, then you're playing a lot of kissy face. You're just kissing and sucking the lips off each other's face and for days on end because it's legal and you just feel so good about it. But then your lips get raw because you can't kiss forever. Your lips will get raw. Yeah, really, I've done it. Like, not now. I can't. My pucker's gone. And when you stop kissing, you start talking. And that's not good. Because now you realize, I don't like you. I don't like you. And you just like your mom and you just like your daddy. And you better shut up. Yeah, and then God just tricks us in there. And now we're stuck. We're married. We got to figure out how to make this work. That's why you need to know Jesus. You can't be married without Jesus. It's too hard. You need Jesus, the Son of God, and the same Spirit that raised him from the dead to stay married. Seriously. God never intended to be people married that didn't know him. That'll you create hell on earth itself. You will. You will. And I used to take my seniors to divorce court when I was a school administrator. Once a year, we go to divorce court on a Friday morning. Load up the bus. Going on a field trip. Where are you going? Divorce court. Need your parents' permission. And because divorce court's the closest thing to hell you'll ever see on this planet. And we'd drive them down to half a day of divorce court. And I said, listen, guys, you're going to hear cussing and hollering and perversion and nasty and weird and strange things this morning. And you're going to hear from two people that swore their love to one another at one time. And I love you forever. At least for a year or two. Because you get to know one another. You don't know how to solve problems. You don't know how to blend together. You don't know how to survive. You don't know how to problem solve. And all of a sudden, boy, it gets nasty. And you throw some children in the middle of that mix. Because people think, well, if we can just have some children, it'll make us closer. That's a lie of the devil. It will not. Children will complicate your marriage, not compliment it. My buddy up in New York that's single, he says, if you cannot handle being single, you'll never handle being married. And that's the truth. You need greater grace to be married than you do to be single. Then you drop some babies into that, and you're going to have algebraic equations to deal with. Because daddies get mad after babies show up. Mama loves him, nurtures him, rubs his back, plays kissy face, fixes his favorite meal, and then a baby comes. And daddy, you don't know who, what daddy, what. Dad's over in the corner like, hey. Mama's feeding the baby, nurturing the baby, burping the baby, talking to the baby, wooing the baby, touching the baby. And dad, what? What? What do you need? Shut up. I'm taking care of the baby. And that's why men get mad when children show up. And they yell at them. Shut up. They get mad. I go, why? Mama's not giving me any more attention. There's an old saying by children. If you listen to children long enough, children will tell you this. Daddies do what they want to do. Mamas do what they have to do. Come home from work on Monday. Daddies get to eat dinner. Sit down, watch Monday Night Football, drink 3 iced teas, take a nap. Mama's got to clean up the kitchen, put the food away, help the kids with the algebra, pack the lunches for the next day, get the clothes ready. By the time she gets there, daddy's doing fine. He's in there taking a nap. By 11 o'clock, mama finally plops down on the couch, tired, greasy, and wore out. Wakes daddy up. He's feeling good. He'll wake up and look over at mama. He's had his belly full, iced tea, favorite team won. He'll look at his wife. He'll wink at her. He'll say something incredibly stupid like, you want to do it? She'll say, I don't want to do it. I'll beat your head in with a ball bat. Shut up. Don't touch me. I'm tired and greasy. Get away from me. My wife taught me a long time ago. She said, if you want me playing kissy face at 11, you better be in the kitchen with an apron on at 7. And I have my own apron. I do. Because I like playing kissy face at 11. Yes, I do. That's another sermon. Anyhow. Mothers know about sacrifice. John chapter 10, verse 10 says this. We know the scripture. The thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I've come to give you a rich and satisfying life, it says in the New Living Translation. Satisfying. Listen, God knows we have opposition. We've got the world system that doesn't like us. We're not going that direction. We've got the devil that'll kill us if he gets half a chance. We've got our own flesh that doesn't want to do anything right. But even in the middle of all that opposition, God said, I want you to have a satisfied life, know how to overcome, to be more than conquerors, know how to trust me and believe me. You should be satisfied with your life. When Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father, he was satisfied. I did everything I needed to do to fix this problem. When Paul got ready to go home, I finished, ran my race, I finished my course, I'm satisfied. But you know, some people aren't satisfied. You ever bought something and got home with it and you weren't satisfied? I'm like, man, I'm not satisfied with this. That was a bum deal. You ever got married and you weren't satisfied? That'll mess your mind up. Now what do I do? I'm stuck. I've married this person. What am I going to do? Well, you're going to have to grow up. And nobody told you that when they were throwing rice and eating cake and bringing you gifts. That's why they say take a lot of pictures at the wedding because it goes downhill from there. Yeah, because, you know, you wake up 3 years later, maybe 3 weeks later. I don't know. Mama's got the morning breath of a water buffalo. Your hair's grown out of your ears, stuff off the top of your head. You don't look like you do when you said I do. And you're talking at one another, and it's ugly. You're not whispering sweet nothings. Why? Because we got problems now. There were no problems when we were dating. What kind of problem do you have? I don't know. What do you want on your pizza? I don't know. What movie should we see tonight? I don't know. Well, let's decide. You get married, and those conversations take a nosedive. Dive. It goes deep. Now we got stuff not working. We got other things. We got people and children, and stuff's tearing up. All that new stuff. When we got married, the transmission's leaking. The dryer door won't stay shut if you don't put duct tape on it. Bed looks like a camel died in the middle of it. Curtains are sagging and carpet's nasty. You don't look so good. That's where real love has to kick in.
Today, Joe brings you a message that will have you rolling with laughter and thinking about how God designed us to be relational from the very beginning of life. Start today to fight and overcome the tough challenges of marriage. But before we get into today's message, I want to let you know about this month's great radio offer. When you call and give a gift of $35 or more to help Joe continue to fight to reconcile families across this nation, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you a special radio package. It's called Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. The set includes 3 audio discs, messages that will guide you on building a better marriage, 2 cards designed to help remind you each day to pray for your spouse, and you'll also get a set of 31 Telling Your Children the Truth scripture cards. All 3 of these powerful items are designed to help you discover how you can build a strong family with joy, love, and the truth of God's Word. To get your Marriage Building 101 Essential Set, simply call us toll-free 1-800-482-5862. That number again is 1-800-482-5862. Be sure to tell the operator that you want the Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Now, here's Joe with today's biblical message on why it's not good to be alone.
We got other things. We got people and children and stuff's tearing up. All that new stuff, when we got married, the transmission's leaking. The dryer door won't stay shut if you don't put duct tape on it. Bed looks like a camel died in the middle of it. Curtains are sagging and carpet's nasty. You don't look so good. That's where real love has to kick in. I don't know if you know it or not, but 1 out of every 2 children born in America will spend some time in a single parent home. 1 out of 3 children in America will not finish high school. They will not graduate from 12th grade. 1 out of 3 children in America will be born to unwed parents. They're not even committed to one another yet. They've got a baby they're going to have to raise. 1 out of 4 is born to a teenage mother. 1 out of 5 lives in poor health. 1 out of 6 lives under the poverty level. America ranks number 1 in the world in the number of fatherless homes. There are more runaway dads in the United States than Bangladesh, India, China, Russia, or any place else you want to pick. What happened? Well, we raised a lot of adolescents. We didn't raise any adults. Because adults become responsible when they get older. You got to learn about responsibility. You know, as long as you're looking good and smelling good, we'll play kissy face. You don't look so good, I'm out of here. And that's what's going on in the world today. And that's why moms sometimes have a hard time doing their job. If men don't do their job, women can't do their job. You know, God made all men to be lunch chasers. All men are lunch chasers. They're hunters by nature. That's why you walk into the house and the man, not the woman, say, hey, I shot that, killed that, beat that to death, ran that over. I don't have very few women to point out dead heads on the wall. Because God designed women to be nurturers. They're nest defenders. They're not lunch chasers. Caveman leaves in the morning, goes out in the jungle, spends all day beating some mastodon to death. Cave woman doesn't go. She stays by the cave, keeps cave clean, plays with cave kids, change cave kid diapers, visit with other cave women, build cave fire. Caveman comes home. It's a good political situation, by the way. Caveman comes home with that mastodon late in the evening, drops it next to that fire, looks at that cave woman. He'll grunt at her. He'll, and that's cave tougher. Skin this thing and barbecue. And she'll look at him and she'll, oh, that means okay. He'll plop down and stare in the fire because men love fires. You build a fire, men go deaf and dumb around a fire. Because they're thinking. We don't have fires anymore. We got TV sets that work just as good. You come home from chasing lunch and turn that fire on. He's not watching. If you think he's watching, hand him the remote. He'll immediately start to hunt. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom. He's wanting to hunt for a better program. He doesn't want to establish a relationship with one. But the cave woman will get up, get the cave blanket around him, get his little cave belly full. She'll take care of the mastodon, the kids. She'll do everything else. Cave woman's smart enough not to keep the caveman up to 2 a.m. analyzing their cave relationship. Because come sun up, he's got to go do the same thing again tomorrow. Most parts of the world, relationships are easy. Life may be hard, relationships are easy. Men appreciate the women. Women appreciate the men. One thing I've learned about life, even in this modern age, is my wife does what she has to do. She does. And she's told that as we've gone through life. And I've had to grow up. Nobody told me that we were saying I do, that you're going to have to grow up. I know this is fun and pretty and kissy-kissy, but you're going to have to grow up because responsibility is coming. And it's an adventure to live life and be responsible. But mamas understand sacrifice because Jesus said this in John 10:10, I want you to have a rich and satisfying life. Well, how do I get that life? And he explains it. He said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. He lays his life on the line. He said, a hireling, when trouble comes, a hireling will run away. He won't protect the sheep, for he's only doing what he's doing for the money. In other words, he's only doing what he's doing for what he can get out of it. If you take a job for only what you can get out of it, not what you can give, you will hate your job eventually. You get married for only what you can get out of it, not what you can give, you will hate your marriage eventually. You have children for what you think they can do for you instead of what you're going to do for them, you will hate them. God designed humans for one thing, service. We were designed to serve. Jesus said, you want to be great in my kingdom? Become the servant of all. And I've never seen anybody serve like a mama will. You want to be great. That's why women have a high position in heaven in God's eyes. God has a dim view on people who mistreat women, especially mothers. That's why he said, I'll be a father to the orphan. I'll be a husband to the widow. God picks up the slack if men drop it. He thinks highly of women. And so he comes down here and he says, listen to me. You want to be great? Begin to serve. You know, in the New Testament, if you're going to take care of a widow in the New Testament, it sounds very hard. You know, you think, well, widow, we're going to help her. Well, now, there was a prerequisite in the New Testament. If widows came to the founding fathers of the church, Paul and James, all of them, we have a widow. We take care of them. They say, well, first of all, let's ask some questions. Have you washed the saints' feet? Have you been given to hospitality? Have you shown kindness to others? In other words, there's a prerequisite. Has this widow been a servant? For if she has not been a servant, we're not helping you. That's one of the hardest scriptures in the New Testament. Being a widow, that's right. God has a high view of service. God got mad at the men of Israel. They were slobbering all over the altar of God in Malachi 1 and Malachi 3. And God said, why are you slobbering on my altar? And he said, well, because there's no rain and the economy's bad and sheep are skinny and cows are skinny. And they repossessed my camel. Mama needs a new dress. And he said, well, we're bringing our tithes. What's the matter? And he said, you got a heart problem. He said, I saw you bring your offering this morning. I saw that three-legged one-eyed goat you laid on my altar. It's in there. I'm not making this up. He said, I'm not moving off that three-legged goat. I said to bring your best, your first fruit. You're stingy with your money. It's a heart issue. You're stingy with your money. Number two, you're dealing treacherously with the wife of your youth. You're treating your wife ugly. And I'm not moving on that. Jesus said this, when you come to worship God with your offering, if you have aught against anybody, lay that offering down and go get this settled. He said, this relationship doesn't flow well with this one messed up. And so Jesus went on to say, you know how you have a satisfied life? Spend your life helping other people. You are the salt. You're the light. It's Christ, you're the hope of glory. You'll never be happy unless you're helping other people, because the minute you stop helping others, you think somebody owes you something. If it's not going that direction, I think it ought to be coming this direction. There's no guarantee for that. God saved us, blessed us, filled us with the Holy Ghost, gave us favorite angels you cannot count around to be a blessing to people. So don't get weary in well-doing. Be a blessing. Mamas do that more than dads. You know, 70% of the people that cross the Oregon Trail to settle the West Coast were women, not men. Because men only do things really most time to look good. We're big on honor. Now, we've got some adventure in us, but women do what they do for security. It's survival. My kids can't survive this side. We've got to get over there. We've got to get to more fertile land. I cannot not go. So women do extra for their children so they know about sacrifice. They know about serving. And if you're going to be a good mama, sacrifice is what it's going to take, because you never build anything on this planet without putting something into the ground first. If you don't sow some seed, you don't get it. So mamas, I want you to be encouraged. God loves people who serve. God honors you for serving, for helping your kids grow up, confronting them when they need it, encouraging them when they need it. You know, when kids go home, they don't ask for daddy. I got six kids. Hey, where's mama? I'm doing good. I've had a good day and it's been a great week. I know, but where's mama? They want you. They always want mama. Big grown men playing the NFL. Turn around. Hey, mama. They don't ever say hi to their daddy. You ever watch an NFL player? Hey, dad. No. Hey, mom. Why? Because mamas are mean as snot. Made them do what was right. Whipped them when they needed whipping. Fed them when they needed feeding. Make sure they didn't hang out with idiot people. And they know that now they're an adult. Thank God my mother was mean. She made me do what was right. And that's why they wait. Because we don't stay 12 forever. This, we're 22 and 32. We realize, I got to grow up eventually. My mama knew that. That's why she sacrificed. So mamas. Smart mamas know about sacrifice because it pays a great dividend in the end. Number two, smart mamas know how to plan. Women plan. They're like God. They plan everything. Just drive you nuts planning. And women are the head of the home. Men are not the head of the home. Men are the head of the wife. Wife's the head of the home. You think you're the head of the home? Hang out their head in the living room. See how long she lets you leave it there. Maybe a week, then that puppy's going to the garage. She's not going to watch that glass out thing stare at her in the living room. Women plan everything. My wife loves to plan. My wife wakes up usually about 5:30 every morning. Wakes up, has always, just it's in her genes. If we go to bed at 4, she'll wake up at 5. Boom. She's wide awake. She wakes up. She wants information because she's a helpmeet. She needs security. She needs a leader. And the first thing she starts doing when she wakes up, she talks. Hey, wake up. What are you doing today? What's going on? Where are you going? What's going on? What? I don't wake up to about 6:15, and I wake up slow. Don't talk to me for the first 15 minutes. You're awake. No, my eyes are open. I am not awake. And we used to fight.
Joe's going to be back in just a moment with a tool to help you build a God-based, stronger marriage. But before we get to today's final thought and take home, I wanted to let you know about this month's great radio offer. When you call and give a gift of $35 or more to help Joe continue to fight to reconcile families across this nation, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you a special radio package. It's called Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. The set includes 3 audio discs, messages that will guide you on building a better marriage, 2 cards designed to help remind you each day to pray for your spouse, and you'll also get a set of 31 Telling Your Children the Truth scripture cards. All 3 of these powerful items are designed to help you fight for your own family, to discover how you can build a strong family with joy, love, and the truth of God's Word. To get your Marriage Building 101 Essential Set, simply call us toll-free 1-800-482-5862. That number again is 1-800-482-5862. Be sure to tell the operator that you want the Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Now, here's Joe with a tool for you to use in your marriage.
You know, one of the questions we used to get asked all the time is about, how do you pray for your kids, you and your wife? How do you do that? I said, well, we didn't do it for a long time. We're just trying to raise them. You know how it is when you have babies. We had 6, man. You're just trying to make sure they're fed, clothed, bathed, brush their teeth, passing algebra. And then if there was a problem, we'd just yell about it because I had one opinion, she'd have another opinion. And so the kids would pick that up. What are you doing? Fighting over. They need to do this. No, they need to do this. They don't have to do that. Sure, they have to do that. And so we realize what is going on. And of course, we're sitting in church and, you know, we're in Sunday school and we're hearing the Word of God about, you know, you have not because you ask not. Ask that your joy might be made full. We just never applied it to parenting. Also, we realized one time, why are we having such a problem? Because we don't have God involved. It's my flesh and your flesh, and man, we're just striking iron and it's not going anywhere. So I said, you can't wait to a holy moment. You can't wait until you're all happy, you know, and you're all bathed and clean and the house is clean, the bills are paid, and everybody's smiling. You got to pray sometimes when hell's running up under your armpits. You don't have to light a candle, shave your head, suck rug, or hum a hymn. You just need to pray.
You don't even need to close your eyes. You know, the Bible says you can watch him pray. So I finally got in the habit where I just grabbed my wife's hand and said, come here, we're going to pray. What is it? Right now, just come on. Father, we thank you for Sarah. We thank you for Jessica or Corey. Lord, they're needing this, and I thank you we're going to surround them with a shield of divine favor, and you're going to give them the mind of Christ, the wisdom of God. Father, they're going to have wisdom of pricking out their friends. They're not going to hang around bad people. They're going to hang around good people. Father, we're going to teach them how to be a friend. In Jesus' name, amen. And we just pray maybe a 30-second prayer. Maybe it wasn't that long, but we wouldn't wait for a holy moment. And sometimes the kids would hear it. So come here, we're going to pray for you right now. So lay hands and Father, bless them. Give them divine favor. Lord, help them get through this science fair project. You said you give us witty inventions of the Holy Ghost. Give them a creative idea. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, go get busy. And it wasn't something where you just spend a long time. You don't have to get holy. God already made us holy. You just need to pray. God said in all this, listen, 8 times through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus repeatedly said, you have not because you ask not. So when we started praying, it was really out of sheer desperation. What are we going to do? We need God because we're not doing so good. And the minute we got God involved, it was amazing how things started to work out. Now listen, guys, tests and trials come to everybody. Prayer doesn't keep you hell from coming at you. It gets you through hell. It comes out the other side. Makes you a victor. You become an overcomer, you know, because God helps. God listens when we pray. We just need to pray more often. God bless.
Thanks so much, Joe. If you like what you heard today, call now and become a partner. With a gift of $35 or more, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you the Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. The set includes 3 audio messages that are thought-provoking and funny, a couple of prayer reminders, and 31 teaching cards to help you ultimately build a strong marriage and family. Call now 1-800-482-5862. That's 1-800-482-5862. You can also write Joe at P.O. Box 691-498, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74169. We're excited to hear about all the great things God is going to do in your life as you apply these principles. Join us when Joe continues this Laugh and Learn series on how you need the right tools to build a successful marriage. It's never too late to change your marriage.